I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Novak Djokovic of Serbia has a fifth Wimbledon men's tennis title.
It was a huge relief in the end, honestly. In this kind of matches, you work for, you live for. They give sense and they give value to every minute you spend on the court, training and working to get yourself in this position and play the match with one of your greatest rivals of all time.
Djokovic and Swiss great Roger Federer went the distance at the All England Club with a tie break in the final set. Djokovic felt he was behind Federer most of the way in the 7-6, 1-6, 7-6, 4-6, 13-12 final.
I thought I was most of the match on the back foot, actually. I was, defending. He was dictating the play. And I just try to fight and find a way when it mattered the most, which is what happened.
The epic championship match could have gone either way, and Federer was happy to have a chance to win.
Happy to be at 8-all, 9-all, I don't remember what it was. So, you try to see the positives, you try to take it as a good thing, I guess, that you're not down a break or that the match is not over yet. And if I could have picked it, before the match to be at 9-all in the fifth, that wouldn't be a terrible thing. So you just always try to push yourself to see things on the better side. But, it was definitely tough, to have those chances.
Djokovic dug in when he had to.
I thought I could have played better, but at the same time, one thing that probably allowed me to come back and save match points and win this match was the mental stability in those moments. I guess that all of these things combined results in a courageous effort, but there is not a specific formula to find the courage. I mean, at least from my perspective.
Federer wasn't certain of this match compared to another legendary Wimbledon final against Rafael Nadal of Spain in 2008.
Epic ending, so close and so many moments. Sure there's similarities, but you got to go dig and see what they are, I'm the loser both times, so that's the only similarity I see.
For Djokovic, the level of difficulty was new for him.
It was probably the most demanding, mentally most demanding match I was ever part of. I had most physically demanding match against Nadal in finals of Australia. They went almost 6 hours. But mentally, this was different level because of everything. And I'm just obviously thrilled and overjoyed with emotions to be sitting here in front of you as a winner. I mean, it was one shot away from losing the match as well. I mean, this match had everything and it could have gone easily his way.
But it didn't. And Federer says he'll move on.
Similar to 08, maybe I will look back at it and think like, well, it's actually not that bad after all, but for now it hurts and it should, like every loss hurts here at Wimbledon.
Djokovic has defeated Federer in 26 of their 48 meetings and now has 16 major titles, 2 behind Nadal and 4 behind Federer, who is not worried that someone may catch his Grand Slam record.
Not so much I'm trying to stay ahead, because I broke the record, and if somebody else does, well, that's great for them, and you can't protect everything anyway, and that was not, I didn't become a tennis player for that. I really didn't, It's about trying to win Wimbledon, trying to have good runs here, playing in front of such an amazing crowd and in front of, in this center court against players like Novak and so forth, that's what I play for.
Novak Djokovic began his celebration with a quick post-match snack. Tasty Wimbledon grass.
Better than ever. Yeah, I don't know. It tasted amazing. I'm still digesting it.
I'm happy about what I achieved these 2 weeks, and I can't describe how I feel winning Wimbledon. It's pretty special.
Special, as Simona Halep becomes the first Romanian women's champion at Wimbledon, rolling over American Serena Williams 6-2, 6-2 in just 56 minutes.
Today I decided before the match that I'm going to focus on myself and on the final of Grand Slam, not on her. So that's why I was able to play my best, to be relaxed and to be able to be positive and confident against her.
Williams knew she was outplayed.
She just played great, so I don't think it's a surprise for anyone to play great against me. I just was trying different things, and today nothing really helped, but also made a lot of way too many errors for a lot of stuff to work.
Halep charged from the start and never let up.
I knew that I have to be aggressive and being 100% for every ball, that I don't have to let her come back to the match because she's so powerful and so strong. She knows how to manage every moment. So I knew that I have to stay there, which I did pretty well today. I'm very sure that was the best match of my life. Also on grass against her is never easy.
Serena is looking to see if this will be a new level of play from Halep.
When someone plays lights out, there's really not much you can do. I mean, you just have to understand that that was their day today, and hopefully they can play like that more often and more consistently.
Williams was aiming for a 9th Wimbledon title and a record-tying 24th major, and isn't certain if that elusive mark is becoming tougher to achieve.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's harder. I think it's just, you know, just coming out there and doing the best that you can do. And that's really all you can do, really.
For Halep, winning the final point was great.
It's tough to describe the moment. It's just, you feel like light, you feel everything. It's beautiful, and you just try to enjoy.
Her mother's dream was to reach a Wimbledon final. Now, Simona Halep has taken that dream a step farther with an added special prize.
I wanted this badly. When I started the tournament, I talked to the people from the locker room that my dream is to become a member here. So today it's real, and I'm really happy.
While they didn't win the mixed doubles title, Serena Williams and Andy Murray, known either as Marina or Sarandi, grabbed the spotlight as Murray continues his amazing play following hip surgery.
Well, Andy gets asked every question about his body in the U.S. Open, and literally every question in a different way, but it's the same question. And it's great for me because I get to sit here and just look. My thing is just to stay focused and not look like I'm daydreaming. But it's nice because I love him having all the attention. It's so good. It's such a relief.
And while at times during her career there has been some colorful language.
We mixed away.
Did I say that? I don't think I said that.
Oh,
I didn't say that she had a bad mouth.
Murray says any possible use of foul language would be...
It's just tactics.
It's just really, really nice to be able to... You know, to stand here with the trophy at the end of the day.
Bernd Wiesberger of Austria held the Scottish Open trophy after outlasting French challenger Romain Langasque by 2 shots at 22 under par.
I had fun out there, you know.
He cherishes the win right before the Open Championship.
You're not often in those positions, and you gotta cherish the moments when you have them. And I know my phone is just exploding in my pocket here, so I know there was a lot of people with me out there, even though they're not here.
Langasque broke through after some disappointing events.
Pretty happy because I missed the last 3 cut and I wasn't playing bad, so I was disappointed. Now set on my own on this big event, it's really nice. Now I have my place at the final of the race to Dubai and a lot of points for the world ranking, so just really happy and focused on next week now.
His great play leads him to the Grand Slam event this week.
I think this is my low finishing score, 20 under, so I know that I can play really low on an easy course. But no, I think just a good preparation because next week is a big event and I will arrive really confident. So I will have some rest the next few days before starting on Thursday.
His great play leads him to this week's Grand Slam event.
It's amazing. I wasn't sure it would ever happen.
The 148th Open Championship tees off at Royal Portrush as the oldest of golf's 4 majors returns to Northern Ireland for the first time in 68 years, making it extremely special for players like Padraig Harrington.
An RNA member, Gavin Caldwell, back in 2007, started the idea and started doing a bit of work. Obviously, I won the Open that year, and we were, you know, he was getting a bit of encouragement behind the scenes, and then we kind of had the perfect storm of having the other lads win majors. And I think the European Tour bringing the Irish Open here in 2013 was the biggest catalyst, so it does show that it could host a great event.
Royal Portrush also hosted in 1951, the only time the Open was held outside of England or Scotland. Harrington says it's about time.
The RNA had no reason not to come here, and it's been proved right. It's right up there with the all-time most successful ticket sales of any Open Championship. I think it's gone straight in at number 5, which is, you know, testament to the venue that it is.
He says while the course is great, there's another factor that weighs heavily when playing in Northern Ireland.
The golf course is in pristine condition. As with, always with links, golf, a lot will depend on the weather. I think if you drive the ball well here, the course is very scoreable. But if there's tough conditions, you know, if it gets a bit of rain and wind, obviously that driving becomes a lot harder, and it is a very difficult golf course if you start missing fairways.
Lee Westwood is building an impressive streak at the Open as he still seeks his first major title.
This is my 25th Open in a row, so I'm getting used to them now, but it's great to see it in Ireland. Some of the finest links courses in the world are in Ireland, so it's nice that we should be playing some of them.
Westwood's best finish at the Open was runner-up in 2010. His past experience at Royal Portrush may or may not help him.
I just remember the conditions changing, you know, like the first going from a driver and a sandwich to two drivers, so, you know, that's how much of an effect the conditions can have around here, so. As all links golf is, it's very much dependent on the wind and the rain and tides changing and stuff like that.
The John Deere Classic Golf Tournament has produced yet another first-time winner, as George McNeely tells us from Silvis, Illinois.
Dylan Fratelli has followed in the footsteps of fellow University of Texas Longhorn Jordan Spieth for his first-ever victory on the PGA Tour.
Ever since I was a kid watching golf, I'd always known about this tournament. So, no, it's crucial having those long-term sponsors on the tour, and when you have that, it's always good to repay that, and I'm thankful to John Deere.
29-year-old Fratelli went 13 under par over the weekend, wrapping up 21 under on TPC Deer Run.
I watched this tournament as a kid, didn't know much about it besides that it's a really low-scoring event, and when I graduated college with my buddy Jordan Spieth 1 year a couple of times, and obviously came into my focus once I become a member of the PGA Tour, but now to have won it, I don't know, still sinking in. Feels awesome, it feels great. The support I got from everyone here this week in town felt awesome, and it definitely made me feel at home. It's probably one of the best tour stops I've been to when it comes to support from the community.
The South African native fired a 7-under par 64, winning the John Deere Classic.
Funny thing was, I didn't actually know where I was. I don't look at leaderboards, I don't look at scores, and I woke up this morning and checked the tee times, and I was like, oh, I'm actually 2 shots behind. So I managed to sleep thinking that I was in the lead or around the lead, or I don't really get too bogged down by specifics. I knew I had to come out here and make a bunch of birdies today, so nothing was going to change that. Whether I was 4 shots back or 1 shot back, it really had no bearing on how I had to play.
With the win, Fratelli secured a spot in the FedEx Cup playoffs, ensured himself a PGA Tour card for the next 2 seasons, and has boarded a Deer & Company charter flight benefiting their Birdies for Charity program as he secured a berth in the Open Championship at Royal Portrush in Ireland. Russell Henley was runner-up 2 shots back after shooting Sunday's lowest round, 10-under par 61.
It's a cool course. It's fun. There's a lot of cool shots you hit. It's beautiful. And it's run really well. I enjoy being here. It's a nice place, and you get rewarded for your good shots.
It's Dylan Fratelli, the winner of the John Deere Classic. George McNeely, Silvis, Illinois.
George also sat down in an exclusive one-on-one discussion with Deere & Company CEO Sam Allen, who shared some interesting insights on artificial intelligence and how it ties building heavy machinery with golf.
We bought a company called Blue River Technologies in Sunnyvale. That AI capability can be used across all the platforms. We're developing a web-based in the cloud system for golf superintendents to manage the total cost of running a golf course. A lot of that platform is the same as what we do for the farmer and managing their farm field. So there are definitely synergies, the telematic solutions, some of the electronic capabilities, and definitely also as we continue, we are on a journey what we call automation to autonomy, and the automation components that eventually will allow for autonomous vehicles, that can be used across all these platforms.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on VOANews.com.